welcome to a special episode of the Southern Fried Security Podcast. I am your host, Joseph Sokoli. I am joined tonight by my good friend, Steve. Steve, how you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing good.
And I am also joined by a very special guest, Jessie Irwin, the security empress who smashes things for one password. Jessie, how are you doing?
I'm pretty good. Thank you.
Excellent. Excellent. So, it's been kind of an interesting week, definitely an interesting week for Jessie. So last week on the episode, we talked about 1Password and password managers in general. And then completely unrelated, a blog post was written by Dale Myers, who's a software engineer from Microsoft. And he wrote, let's call the post a slightly editorialized title of 1Password Leaks Your Data. That was the title he used. And he kind of explained that there's... the agile keychain format that 1Password stores some data in can show some metadata, and the internet kind of exploded. Jessie, does that sound pretty accurate?
That sounds like my experience of the past few days, yes.
So in the past couple of days, 1Password has issued a statement regarding the fact that it's not quite as editorialized as big of a deal as Dale made of it. And they've also kind of explained a path going forward. So Jessie, do you want to kind of explain this whole deal? Was that an okay summation?
Yeah, that works. The first thing I would say is everything that we have seen addressed in this post is not necessarily wrong, but it's also not really news. We have had the Agile Keychain in play as part of our product dating back to 2008. We have always been really open in public about why we make the design decisions we do and the product decisions we do. So the documentation and the explanations for the choices that we have made are completely, totally out there. In 2012, we built the OP Vault format, and when we launched that, did the same with the documentation and made sure that that's fully explained and out there. The issue at hand here is that when we were making the decisions about how to build Agile Keychain, we had a few considerations and limitations that we had to take into mind. And overall, when you look at the structure of the keychain and the data that it holds, it is secure. It never stopped being secure. It continues to be secure. And if it were not, we would be pulling it immediately, and we would be telling our users not to use it. That's not really what happened here, though. So when we were designing the Agile Bits keychain, or the Agile keychain, we had a few considerations that we had to keep in mind. One was that devices weren't as capable as they are now of being able to decrypt things on the fly. And knowing that, we had to be really thoughtful about the kinds of information we wanted to encrypt. One of the things that we decided was that titles and URLs, the metadata in question, probably weren't worth encrypting because there were so many different layers that someone would have to go through to get that information. In addition to that, you know, if we thought that the Agile Keychain were insecure, we would not allow our users to keep using it at this point. This is something that has been out there since 2008. It has been secure since we shipped it, and it continues to be secure. The only surprise here that has really not been a surprise for, 7 years now, is that we didn't encrypt a couple of pieces of metadata. And granted that the attitudes toward metadata have changed significantly since that time, it's understandable, but not new.
And you make an interesting point there regarding the change in the opinions on metadata. That's an interesting way to put it. I hadn't thought about it like that.
So considering the changes of metadata, I mean, obviously that led to this particular blog post spreading like it did. There was a good deal of news coverage about the issue. It wasn't like mass marketed news coverage, but there were plenty of articles written. What's your take on how the media handled this situation, given that generally technologists that write generalists themselves, so they don't see the underlying trade-off on security, because that's just not what they write about? What were your thoughts on that when you were seeing it?
Well, for a long time, part of my job has been media. And if there's one thing that I have learned about people in the work that I do in security awareness, even those who are technologically savvy, it's that people don't necessarily understand all of the things that come into play when they're talking about security, and especially issues like this. In some cases, I can really see where someone tried to understand all of the nuance and the issues at hand, but some of the titles that we've seen have dug down a little bit more to raise fear, you know, good old FUD, and inspire that in our users. And overall, I will just come out and say it. Sometimes I will look at a piece of coverage and think, is someone writing fan fiction about what we're doing? Because that's not how any of this works. And I'm happy to jump into a conversation and to try to help educate, not give someone a product pitch, but really talk about the mindset behind the security at hand. But it's just really rough. And this is a problem that our entire industry is having. It's not just us in this situation. Look at the coverage that bug bounty programs get, for example. You know, hacker could have taken away all of your Facebook photos or all of your YouTube videos. It's the same problem. It's just that anytime there's a vulnerability, the criticality is not something that's typically addressed, and it blows up anyway. And that's really frustrating for all of us. It's something we can all be doing better.
Excellent point.
I'm just giggling at the fan fiction remark. That's just awesome. Correct me if I'm wrong. And, you know, again, I read the blog post and I took part in the discussion on Twitter for a little bit. But doesn't this only impact people who are using Dropbox?
Yeah. So for this issue, this is something that people syncing through Dropbox might encounter. That's about it. If you're not using Dropbox to sync, or you're using an older version of 1Password, you're probably going to be using the OP Vault format anyway. And the Dropbox piece is a really important piece to bring up, because in order to even gain access to the Agile Keychain, there are a few different things that have to go really, really, really wrong for any kind of information to come out of this. Either you have to make the decision to publicly share your Agile keychain on the internet somewhere, which, correct me if I'm wrong, might not be good OPSEC, or somebody has to hack into your Dropbox account. And if you're a 1Password user, you're probably already smart enough to know that it needs to be a strong, unique password, and you probably already turned on two-factor authentication. And those are some pretty big hurdles to have to jump through, given that we're also able to trust Dropbox's security in these situations as well.
Yeah, I think this really comes down to kind of evaluating your risk profile, and, you know, in a Dropbox with two-factor authentication and things like that, the risk of this metadata possibly being accessed is pretty infinitesimally low.
Absolutely.
Again, I mean, I hate to sound like a broken record, correct me if I'm wrong, if I've popped your Dropbox account, doesn't that mean I probably have a good handle on the rest of your passwords? I mean, let's assume you're using 1Password, so you have a different password for everything you've got going. But if I'm able to get into your Dropbox, I mean, what else can I get from that?
That's true. This kind of requires near physical access.
Absolutely. And if somebody gets into that Dropbox, they can only see the unencrypted pieces. Everything else sits there encrypted. And you have to really worry about the other things you have in your Dropbox. We're not going to talk about my cat picture collection, but that's part of the thing that would be in my risk profile for that particular service.
I've seen the cat pictures. They're amazing. I have another question. This kind of stuck with me when I was reading a blog post earlier. Dale's post says that if you browse to your Agile keychain file on your disk, you'll find it's actually a directory. Inside this directory is a file named 1Password.html. If you access this file over HTTP, note that using the file protocol won't work, you'll be greeted with a gray page which has a lock on it and a password field. Enter your password and your keychain will unlock and you have read-only view of your data. I'm confused. So if I browse to where this Agile keychain is, and I enter my 1Password file, I could read my metadata. Isn't that something I already expect to do? After all, if I'm going to enter my password to unlock my keychain, shouldn't I be seeing all of this data already? Or is this something I'm just not following along too well with here?
Well, that's all data that you can see in your 1Password account. So, for example, if I go in and I type in my master password, I can look at the last time that I changed a password. I have data in there about the last time that I created a password, or the first time that I initiated something with the site. I will say, though, we have been in some discussions this week about killing off 1Password.html totally. So I don't know what the status of that is. I might not even technically supposed to be talking about that. Sorry, team. But that's something we're killing dead. So it's really not going to be much of an issue.
And, you know, one of the things that, you know, I did want to go ahead and stress is that you do address in the blog post that going forward, even Agile Keychain is going to kind of be going away. Is that correct?
That is correct. We have been working for a while to complete the migration from one data format to the other. One of the reasons that we have not moved as quickly as some people may like, people who have paid for a 1Password license to lose functionality to a product that they use and they rely on and they generally love. So we are working to make sure that we are preparing all of the things that need to be prepared for migration. We're actively doing that. We've worked on that internally for a while. But I do want to make sure that we say, like, it's coming, and we will be really forthcoming about when we make those changes.
Fantastic. I think that was kind of everything I had. Steve, did you have any other questions for Jesse?
No. I mean, the big point I wanted answered was, you know, how serious of an issue this was. And clearly, for a small portion of the 1Password users in the world, this could be an issue. But overall, I don't think it's as big as it was made out to be. So, yeah, I'm good.
Fantastic. Jesse, thank you so much for jumping on, especially in the middle of all of the other shenanigans that I am sure you are dealing with right now.
Well, thank you. I am so excited that you invited me to Jesse Spleen and to smash some things.
Well, that's, I think, all we have for tonight. We will be back next week with a full episode. So thanks so much.
Good night, everybody.